Open your Bibles to Job chapter 25 this morning. Job chapter 25. We're looking this morning at justification. And the definition for justification, or to be justified, would be a person, let's say a person, someone broke into their home and they were threatening their family and they were going to kill that individual. And that person, they, out of self-defense, they had to kill the other person in self-defense of themselves and their own family. When they stand before court, if the law works properly because it was self-defense, they are going to declare that that man was justified in what he did. He was justified in defending his family. There was no crime committed, therefore there is no guilt. That is our basic definition of justification. To be without guilt, such as there was no crime committed. Now you think about that, and we're going to look at this today. Job 25, verse 4. This verse says, "How then can man be justified with God?" That's a good question, isn't it? It is a question that was asked here. It was asked by Bildad the Shuhite. And he asked this question. He says, "How then can man be justified with God?" How could it be possible that man, being sinful and wicked, how is it that they could stand before God guiltless and without crime? That's a good question. And then it says this, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? So all men being sinners, how can he be clean? We're going to take and let the Bible preach this morning on this theme of justification, and I believe it will be an encouragement and a help to many today. Father, I pray that you would help me to preach. I pray that I might preach your word with your power. I ask today that you would help us all. Take us, Lord, as I preach the word of God. I pray that you would take us to that point where we stand before God as the judge. Help us to look at that day and help us to understand, will we stand there guilty before God, or will we stand there justified before God? And I ask that you would help that to be very clear. If there is an unsaved person here today, help them to understand their need of salvation. For all those that are Christians, help us to be able to take this doctrine from the Word of God, and may it be an encouragement to us, Lord, as we live for you, as we fellowship with you, as we pray to you, knowing that we can pray and that we are guiltless before God. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at this question, turn to Exodus chapter 23, Exodus chapter 23 and verse 7. The first thing I want to look at this morning as we look at this verse is this fact, God will not justify the wicked. God will not justify the wicked. Exodus 23:7 says this. It says, "Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent blood and the righteous slay thou not." So he's saying, look, a false matter, anything that's a lie, anything that's dishonest, anything that's deceitful, stay away from it. Stay away from it. And any person that's innocent, don't touch that person. Do not allow an innocent person to be slain. And then God says this, "For I will not justify the wicked." I will not allow the wicked to stand before me and declare that they are guiltless, declare that they have committed no crime. Let's look at Psalm 143. Psalm 143. As we move over there, Psalm 143 and verse 2, the Bible says this, "And enter not into judgment with thy servant." This man is praying to the Lord. Verse 1, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. If in thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." Now when we take those two verses, we think, here's a holy God. He is going to judge the world. And those two verses build the fact that there is not a one of us worthy of being justified before God. we will stand before him. And God says, look, I'm not going to justify the wicked. God says, look, how is it that any man living could be justified? Why would that statement be made? Because every living man has committed sin. Therefore, we are not worthy to be justified. So let's look now at man's inability to justify himself. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Romans 2, 11 through 13. Man does not have any ability to justify himself. You can stand in a courtroom and you can argue all day long, well, I deserve to be justified because of this. But if we have committed a crime, there is no justification. You can ask for mercy, but there's no justification. So we look at this in Romans chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. The Bible says, for there is no respect of persons with God. You know, God does not see race or color or creed or nationality. God sees every individual as an individual. There is no respect of person. God does not look at wealth or poverty. God does not look at sickness or health. God looks at every individual exactly the same, and he says there's no respect of persons with God. Verse 12 says, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter. If you've sinned without the law, you've sinned, and therefore you perish. It says, as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Those that had the law and sinned, they will be judged by the law. Verse 13 says this, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. In other words, if a person could take the entirety of the law of God and keep absolutely every detail of it, that person would be able to stand before God guiltless, as though they committed no crime whatsoever. That's a pretty high stake, isn't it? You think about it. We've already broken it. There's no way. So let's look at this a little bit further. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Here's a person that came and he asked some questions. Luke 16, verse 14 and 15. These are religious people. Religious people are people that are often in this world, they're looked up to. You would look at them and you would say, well, that religious person, is there a possibility that maybe they have kept the law? What does God say here? And the Pharisees also, who were covetous. Uh-oh, they broke the law, right? They're religious, but they broke the law of God. It says they were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. Verse 15 says, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. Oh, we're good at that, aren't we? People love to be able to say, well, this is why I did this. Mom and Dad, this is why I disobeyed you. Looking for some justification. Policemen, this is why I was breaking the law. Looking for some justification. But the Bible says here, they justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For all which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. God looked at these religious people, very religious people, and God says, look, I'm looking not on the surface. These people, to you or I, we would look at them and we'd say, wow, they are really good Christians. Everything on the outside looks just exactly right. But God saw their heart, and what did God see in their heart? Covetousness. In this instance, it was covetousness. And God says, look, I see the heart. You may have lived an exemplary life, but God looks at the heart and he knows every thought that you've had. You think, put that up against the law. Every bad thought, God's seen it all. Put that up against the law. We're guilty. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Every mouth stopped. You think about it. How many of you parents, sometime or another, you told your children to do something, they did not do it, and they begin to give explanation why they were not able or why they did not do it, and they give excuse, and you say, stop. I don't even want to hear it. You did not do what I told you to do. Anybody? Yeah, I've said it, and I've had it said to me. Stop. Now, I don't even want to hear it. God says, look, every mouth will be stopped and all the world becomes guilty. The law shows you've broken it. You say, but God, stop, you're guilty. It's the facts. Verse 20 says this, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So that person was coming and he was saying, look, I'm going to keep every detail of the law. You can't. You're guilty. You can't keep it all. There's only one way to justify yourself. That is to keep every detail of the law, but you can't. And therefore God says, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Look at verse 23 of the same chapter. Why can no flesh be justified? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single person is guilty. Every single person has transgressed at least one of the laws of God, and mostly thousands upon thousands. Look at Luke 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 29. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 29. Here's a certain lawyer. Oh, they're good at it, aren't they? The lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall... See the next two words? What are they? I do. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What am I going to do? Now here's a lawyer. If anybody can argue their point, if anybody can argue the fact that they should be justified, it would be a lawyer. Jesus says, He saith unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? The lawyer answers, and he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. So here it is. All of the law is summed up in those two things. Love God with all thy soul. Okay, we failed. We failed. We've broken the law. With all thy strength. Anybody ever had the strength to do something for God and you didn't do it? You failed. With all thy mind. Wow. Anybody ever let their mind think one bad thought? Well, you weren't loving God at that moment with all your mind. And thy neighbor as thyself. Oh, we love ourselves, don't we? Mankind loves themselves. They really do. And you think about it. Do you love your neighbors, the people sitting next to you right now, your neighbors out on either side of your house? Do you love them as much as you love yourself? We've broken the law. We've broken the law. So Jesus answers him and said, okay. He said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. He says to the lawyer, go ahead. If you love God with all of your heart and mind and strength and soul, and you love your neighbors yourself, you will stand before God justified. Look at the next verse. But he, the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus gives the parable of the Good Samaritan, basically saying everybody in the world is your neighbor. And this lawyer walks away unjustified. He's thinking, okay, who do I have to love as much as myself? And okay, let me ask this question. Anybody here that you have somebody out there, somebody that you know that you don't love as much as yourself? Come on now, be honest. Is there somebody out there that you don't love as much as you love yourself? Okay. Yeah, pretty much that sums it up, doesn't it? So guess what? you can't be justified on your own before God. This lawyer couldn't, and neither can we. You cannot be justified before God. Galatians 3:11, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. The Bible says this in Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. No man, God said. Galatians 3 and verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now I'm entering transition here. Every single person that is broken the law of God, and that's all of us, we've just seen it, no one here can justify themselves. When you stand before God, you will stand before God, and you might try to give explanation. God will say, stop. Your mouth is stopped. You are guilty. Anybody here that's not guilty? We're all guilty. Every single person, we're guilty. When you stand before God Almighty, you stand before Him guilty, and the punishment for sin is death in hell and burning in hell forever. And we're all guilty. We're all guilty. So now as we enter transition, you say, what's the law for then? If we can't keep it, why is it there? The law was our schoolmaster. The law said, you're guilty. It was there. It was designed by God so that every person would understand upon reading the law, guess what? I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And the purpose of that law was not there. We ought to strive to keep it, but it's not there so that we can be justified by the law. The law can't justify us. The law was there to say, you need someone to help you. You need someone to justify you because you can't do it through the law. Now let's look at this as we transition. Let's go to Galatians 2 and verse 16. Galatians 2:16. The Bible says here, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So we take the religion, the Pharisee, no matter what they were, there is not enough good works in this world to justify any of us before God. There are not enough beads on the rosary to justify a person before God. There is not enough religion. There are not enough alms. There is not enough charity. There is not enough of any of that in the world that we may be justified. Because justified is not paying for the sin. It's to be declared without guilt. You see that? Justification is not atonement for sin. Justification is the declaration that there is no sin. It's not you're making payment for it. It's the fact we need to stand before God not having made a payment for our sin. We need to stand before God having had no sin. Because if we've sinned, what does that make us? It makes us a sinner. It makes us a sinner. So Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So we see it in one verse tying, you cannot be justified by the works of the law. You must be justified by faith in Christ. Say, well, what is that? Because so far what we've looked at in this message, we've seen that God will not justify the wicked. We've seen that man has no ability to justify himself. So who is this Christ? Who is he that I could have faith in him and be justified somehow through Jesus Christ? I see that there is justification through him, but who is he? Turn to Acts 13. Acts 13, as we transition from the inability of man to justify himself to looking at the fact that Jesus is our justification, that God sent Jesus to be our justification. Acts 13, 38 and 39, The Bible says this, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." What man? That's Jesus. The forgiveness of sins. I can have all of the guilt can be forgiven. All of the crimes that I've committed against the law of God can be forgiven by one man. Yes, verse 39 says, "And by him all that believe are," what? Whoa, justified. By Jesus, all that believe get to stand before God. Now look at this, with no guilt, zero, no crime committed. That's something, isn't it? "And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." Where the law could not help you, Jesus Christ came to help. Now let's look at this, Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Romans 3, 22. Romans chapter 3, verse 22 and 24. Now we saw in this passage that all people would become guiltless or guilty and that their mouths would be stopped. But verse 22 says this, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ." So Jesus Christ, remember the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Jesus Christ was just. Jesus Christ lived by faith, and by his faith and our faith in him, what happens? "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe." For there is no difference. There is no difference whether you live in Africa or Asia or Brazil or South America or Canada or Russia. Makes no difference where you're at. Most makes no difference. God is not a respecter of persons. All people can be justified by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Verse 24, "Being justified," what's that next word? Freely. Think about that. It's not religious works. There's no amount of money that can be pulled out to say, "I'm going to pay for my justification." God owns it all anyway. Look around. God created this entire world, didn't he? Does he need your money? No. He says being justified freely. Wow, to stand before God in the courtroom. God is the judge. And to stand there and God says, "Not guilty." And that happens for free? Well, somebody had to pay. There was a great price that was paid. But to us, it's free. For being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now notice here the focus is on Jesus Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness. Where our righteousness failed, Jesus Christ's righteousness picked up. For the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just. Was Jesus Christ just? The one man that kept every single law of God. The one man that could stand before God and God could say he's not guilty. The just, and look at this, the justifier. That is the man who does the justifying. He is the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. You know what religion does? Religion promotes the opportunity to boast. Jesus takes away all opportunity to boast. Any religion, no matter what it is, every religion is based on works. Where works are involved, one person says, "Well, I'm a better at this than you did. I gave more than you did. I lit more candles than you did. I had more statues than you did. I kept the law better than you did." We're all guilty. Doesn't matter what we've kept and what we haven't. Doesn't matter how many church services we've been to and how many we haven't. It is by Jesus Christ. He is the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So Jesus is the justifier. He takes away all of the boasting. It's excluded. By what law? Verse 27 in the middle. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith. What's that next phrase? Without the deeds of the law. Without them. Is he the God of the Jews only? No. Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes. Of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith, every single person on this earth, Jew or Gentile, and that includes everybody, by the way, you're either a Jew or a Gentile, has to come to God and be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 4:25, right across the page, who was delivered, Jesus Christ, was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He died for my sins. God put all of my sins on him. He rose from the dead so that I could be justified before God, so that I could stand before God guiltless. Turn to Isaiah 53:11. Isaiah 53:11. What a passage of prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. But you look at this passage of scriptures. He, that is God the Father, shall see the travail of his soul, that is God the Son, Jesus Christ. So God the Father looks at the travail of the soul of Jesus Christ, and it says, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, that's Jesus, justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. How do we get justified? Jesus Christ bore my iniquities. So guess what? Mine don't exist anymore. How does that happen? How does that take place? Turn back to Romans chapter 5 now. Romans chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Look at this. Therefore, as by the offenses of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. The offense of one, who was the one? Adam. Oh, Adam. Guilty Adam. Adam, the first man, the one that was created. Adam sinned, and the human race became sinners. We inherit from Adam our sin nature. Think about it. By the offenses of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Now look at the opposite. Even so, by the righteousness of one, who is that? Jesus. By the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, that was Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, that's Jesus, shall many be made righteous. We've got disobedient Adam gave us our sin nature. Obedient Jesus can justify us. What a tremendous Bible truth. 1 Corinthians 6:11. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Look at this verse. Let's go ahead and read verse 9 and 10. I love the fact that Jesus can save anybody. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? They won't be justified. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. They cannot, they will not be justified. God will not justify the wicked, right? So here it says, though, and such were some of you. He's talking to people in the church of Corinth. They had been saved. They had trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. He says, such were some of you, but ye are, not were now. It was were. That's what you were. Now are. Ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So these people who had been adulterers, who had been fornicators, who had been effeminate, who had been abusers of themselves with mankind, who had been thieves and covetous and drunkards and revilers and extortioners, these people can now stand before God and God says, there's no guilt. Wow. That's what Jesus did. What does it say? They were washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. He died for them. So, this comes back to our first question that we asked right at the beginning. Job 25 verse 4 says this, how then can a man be justified with God? So we see here that man can't justify himself. We see here that Jesus Christ was sent by God for our justification. It's already a done deal. The justification is offered freely. It's offered as a free gift. So how then can a man be justified with God? How do I get to be justified with God? How do I get to be clean? Romans 10 and verse 3. First of all, we have to submit to God's righteousness. Romans 10 and verse 3. Look at this verse. Let's read verse 2. It says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Do you know that every person that is involved in a religion has some sort of a zeal of God, right? It may be the wrong God, it may be a false God, but they have some sort of a zeal of God. They're involved in their religion for a purpose, right? Most of them trying to justify themselves before their God. But there's only one God. And it says they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So we have to first get knowledge. What is this knowledge? Verse 3 says this, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. That was Jesus Christ, right? So how many times in Romans 3 did we see Jesus Christ, His righteousness, His righteousness? Now we look at it, ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. So the first thing that a person has to do to be justified, they have to quit trying to establish their own righteousness. They have to quit making excuses. They have to quit depending upon their religion. They have to quit thinking that somehow they can establish their own righteousness. And in so doing, they then do what? Submitting themselves. Going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You have to quit trying to do it on your own and submit to the righteousness of God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. Galatians 5 verse 4. What does the Bible say? Christ is become of no effect unto you. Now wait a minute. Wasn't Christ crucified? Didn't He die in order that we could be justified? Yes, hallelujah, He did. Now think about it though, but this person, the Bible says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whoa. You mean there's people that the justification of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it has no effect on them? That's what it just said. Look at it. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. If you are trying to do it on your own, if you're trying to be justified through religion, through works, through anything like that, there's no grace for you, and Jesus Christ, His justification that He offers is of no effect for you whatsoever. So the first thing, you have to have the knowledge of the fact you can't justify yourself and submit to the fact that you need Jesus to justify you. You need Jesus to justify you. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 10 through 14. Luke 18, verse 10 through 14, the Bible says, two men went up unto the temple to pray, two men. One was a Pharisee and the other a publican. Verse 11 says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. What's this man doing? He's trying to justify himself, isn't he? I thought this was interesting. There are five I's there. You know how many times Satan said, I will, in Isaiah 14? Five times. Maybe just coincidence, but I found it interesting. I will, I will, I will. No, you have to stop. You can't. The publican, on the other hand, he stands over here, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. He smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So secondly, first you have to have the knowledge of the fact you can't justify yourself. Secondly, you cry out to God for mercy through Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner. I can't be justified. I trust Jesus Christ. Please, you have mercy on me. Save me, God. And that leads to justification. When you realize you're done, you can't, and Jesus can, and you take your faith and put it off of you and put your faith on Jesus Christ and Him alone, and you say, have mercy on me. I want to be saved. God, please save me. That's it. Jesus already did it, and all of a sudden, Jesus, His justification, His righteousness becomes effective for you at that moment. It has full effect. It has full power. It has full ability. You just need it to be effective for you. Call out to Jesus Christ to save you. Will you be saved today? Will you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Will you realize there is no religion, there is no help, the law cannot save? Will you call out to Jesus Christ this very day? Will you be saved today? Because you will stand before God. You have the opportunity to stand before God and God say about you, guiltless, no crime. Wow! That's what Jesus did. That's my Savior. Freely. Freely. The results of justification. We'll finish with this point. Romans 5. Romans 5. Look what this does now. When a person is justified, when a person has trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, remember we're coming off of Romans 4 and verse 25, which says this, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Whose justification? Them that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, them that believe in Jesus. Therefore, being justified by faith, not by works, not by religion, not by anything else, but by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, I get to stand in the throne room of God. When He is the judge, I can stand there in total peace. You walk into a courtroom not guilty. You're at peace, right? Unless the system's corrupt. Then you think, who knows what they're going to do? But the man that walks into the courtroom with peace is the man that walks in justified. There's no guilt. There's no crime. Nothing wrong was done. Therefore, he stands before the judge. There's no fear. There's no trembling. He's not shaking in his boots. He's standing there. God is the judge. And you, if you're saved, you get to have peace with God. Can you imagine standing in the presence of Almighty God and God says, there's no sin here? Jesus did that. That creates peace. Romans 5 and verse 9, look at this verse. Being now justified by His blood. Now we see two things. Every time it says justified, it's pointing to Jesus Christ, isn't it? We were justified by faith in Jesus. We're justified by His blood. He did all of the work. But it says this, being now, and that, oh, don't you love the word now? It's not happening 20 years from now. It's now. You could be saved now. Those of you that are saved now, isn't it great to be saved now? Justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Not only do I get the peace of God and peace to be able to be in the presence of God with no guilt, I get saved from His wrath. I get saved from hell. Saved from eternal damnation. Saved from eternal torment. I've been working this week on letter H in the Christian Maturity series. Letter H, hell. Oh, wow. I am so glad I'm not going there. And it's only by His blood, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Titus 3:7. Last thing here. Titus 3, verse 7. That being justified, oh, look at it, by His grace. Justified by faith, justified by His grace, justified by His blood. You know, God never puts it on us. It's all Him. He did the work. Justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Do you know what? Eternal life is yours if you're saved. What a blessing. Eternal life. Heirs of eternal life. Jesus Christ is the heir. We're heirs together with Him. The day I got saved, I inherited eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you're not saved today, I would encourage you to be saved. Take your guilty sin, turn to God and ask for mercy. He died so that you could be justified. If you're a Christian, don't you think people need to know about it? People need to know about the justification which comes with God, not from religion, but through Jesus Christ. People need to know about it. Praise the Lord. If you're saved today, you get to pray to God in total peace. You get to die in total peace. You've got the peace of God. Eternal life. Say, but I'm old and I'm sick and I'm dying. No, you have eternal life. Just this body is going to die. You, this body is not you. You're in the body. You get a new one. That's eternal life. And that one will never die. That body won't wear out. That's eternal life. And we don't have to go to hell. We don't have to go to hell. Let's stand to our feet. We have an invitation in a moment, and in the invitation, if you're here and you're not saved, if you were to stand before God today and you do not know for sure that God would say, you are guiltless, if you would stand before God and you start to make an excuse and God says, stop, you're guilty, if that's you today and you want to be saved, would you come down to the front? We'll take the Word of God and we will show you how that you can be saved today, this very day. You could be the day of your salvation. Father, I pray that you would work in the invitation at this time. I pray that if there is someone here that's not yet saved and they're ready today to repent of their sin and put their faith in Jesus Christ, I pray that you would help them this very day to get saved. Father, I pray that you would help us as Christians to realize what you've done for us, to share it with others, to live in that peace and that thought, that knowledge of eternal life, and that we may live for eternity as a result of it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If God's spoken to your heart this morning, you want to get saved, the altar's open. I invite you to come down. Jesus died for you. Are you guilty before God, or are you guiltless before God?